This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, November 18th, 2020, and this is your public radio station, 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Ahead this hour, it's that time of year for raking leaves, but water quality experts say raking leaves into urban streets is a source of water pollution. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has that report. And in our second half hour, John Brummett, political writer for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, talks with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics, about a proposal to attract new businesses to Arkansas with tax incentives and the ever-growing challenge of slowing the spread of coronavirus in Arkansas. Arkansas's struggle with COVID-19 is in familiar territory as the holidays get closer. The state's numbers continue to rise. The Arkansas Department of Health reports 1,145 new confirmed cases in the last 24 hours of testing and another 409 probable cases. 20 more deaths reported means the state's combined confirmed and probable deaths from the virus now stands at 2,245. Statewide hospitalizations increased by 34 to another pandemic high total of 895 current hospitalizations. Active cases are again also at the highest point since the start of the pandemic, more than 16,500. At yesterday's briefing about the virus, Governor Asa Hutchinson, Arkansas Secretary of Health Jose Romero, and other state officials again asked residents to take the disease more seriously and wear masks, observe social distancing, and wash hands frequently. We'll hear more from that session in just a few minutes on Ozarks. Hospitals in Washington and Benton counties are seeing increases in patients with complications from COVID-19. Northwest Arkansas healthcare providers report a 13% increase in COVID-19 units in the past 24 hours. 87 people are currently in those units. The Fort Smith Board of Directors is approving a more than $119,000 subsidy to Parrot Island Water Park. The money from the city's general fund comes after a difficult summer season hampered by limited capacity rules because of the virus. According to Talk Business and Politics, the water park's deficit over the summer was nearly $300,000. The Arkansas Razorback soccer team is advancing to the SEC tournament semifinals. The Razorbacks, the top seed, defeated Auburn 4-3 last night in Orange Beach, Alabama. Arkansas, ranked 6th in the country, meets South Carolina in the Thursday night semifinal. Arkansas lost to South Carolina in last year's SEC Tournament Championship game, and the Gamecocks are the only SEC team to beat Arkansas during the regular season. First kick tomorrow night at 6. Clear tonight, sunny tomorrow, according to the National Weather Service, with rain probably moving in this weekend. Lows tonight between 46 and 50. Highs tomorrow in the lower 70s. As it stands now, rain, about a 40% chance, is first mentioned in the forecast Saturday night. Chances of rain for Sunday increase to 70 or 80% throughout the region. This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas's efforts to slow the spread of COVID-19 are not working. At yesterday's weekly briefing about the virus, Governor Asa Hutchinson read from the most recent report from the White House COVID-19 Task Force.
Given the change in the slope in the last 2 weeks post-Halloween, and this is specific to Arkansas, Arkansas is on the precipice of a rapid, accelerating increase in cases, which will be followed with new hospital admissions. End quote. Now, that's a statement that'll get your attention as a leader.
The governor says if the state continues at the pace established over the first few days of this week, there will be an additional 1,000 deaths from the virus before Christmas.
And that, for anyone who wants to enjoy the cheer of Christmas, is a cloud that hangs over us. And that should inspire us to do well, to follow the guidelines, to do everything that we can to break that trend, and that is our goal.
And if the governor's dire warning wasn't enough, Dr. Jose Romero, the state secretary of health, added grim emphasis.
As is stated, I think for the first time in very poignant language, we are on the precipice of a significant and possibly an uncontrollable rise in cases. This is like a boulder rolling down a hill. There will come a time where we cannot stop it. It will continue to escalate and will eventually overwhelm our healthcare facilities. Now is the time to act. I cannot stress enough the importance of the three W's. I'll say it again, I'm sorry. Wear your mask, wash your hands, and watch your distance.
Dr. Romero says the majority of the recent deaths in Arkansas have come from nursing homes and people in congregate living centers. He says there is clearly a vulnerable population, and he says Arkansans should not take vulnerable relatives away from those living settings for large Thanksgiving celebrations next week because of the continued spread of the virus. The White House report also suggests the state should consider reducing capacity at restaurants, a move the governor says he will not implement.
If you put the restrictions back down to one-third, you would be shutting down a whole bunch of businesses. They're there by a thread. In some cases, they have managed with a two-thirds capacity, so they're already limited. And if you cut that back further, you know, you're going to be putting a lot of them underwater, and you're going to be putting a lot of people unemployed. And as you can see, you know, our business grant funding is out. We don't have any additional funding to help our businesses whenever you shut them down. And so I think it's a much better approach what our compliance team is doing. They're going to be ramping up their checks, their compliance efforts.
Mike Moore, the state's director of the regulatory division of the Department of Finance, says the compliance efforts for the past several months have focused on education and messaging. He says since the pandemic began, his department has conducted more than 3,700 inspections, and 93% of those inspections have yielded businesses that are in compliance with orders regarding such things as masks and social distancing. That's a good number, he says, but a number that could be better.
Even a 7% of noncompliance can cause some huge problems when it comes to this COVID-19 disease that our whole state is battling. So even one or two locations that are noncompliant can cause some real problems.
He says most of the citations have resulted in only verbal warnings because the goal is to keep businesses open and keep paychecks going to employees while slowing the spread of the virus.
But one note about that, we've been doing this for 4 months. We've been given lots of education. We've been making sure everyone understands the guidelines and the rules as they have to do with the COVID-19. 4 months is a long time to be given warnings. And so I think what you're going to see in the coming days is when we find people that are noncompliant, there's going to be more accountability. And we're going to up that just a little bit to see if we can get some better results.
As the state moves into a ninth month of a public health emergency, many businesses continue to experience impacts from interruptions from the pandemic. Stacy Hurst, the secretary of Arkansas Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism, says CARES Act money for businesses directly impacted by government order related to COVID-19 will provide assistance for entities within the hospitality and personal care industries. She says grants will be provided to eligible businesses based on reimbursement of certain expenses.
We've been working with a consultant to develop a portal for applications. That portal opened yesterday, November 16th, and it will be open through November 25th. This is not a first-come, first-served grant. So it doesn't matter if your application was submitted on the first day or the last day. That will not affect your eligibility or your grant amount.
Secretary Hurst says the CARES Committee in the Arkansas Legislature approved $50 million for the grants. Arkansas's Secretary of Education, Johnny Key, says last week 46 schools modified to some kind of virtual learning schedule because of COVID-19 cases or close contacts. He says an additional 16 schools in the first 2 days of this week have adopted some form of virtual learning application, and that there are 72 active modifications in Arkansas schools. And Governor Hutchinson says the winter task force he created last week continues to meet to create recommendations and counsel for him this week regarding healthcare staffing and statewide cooperation for healthcare. And he is scheduled to be part of a phone call with President-elect Joe Biden and his transition team Thursday, a phone call designed to help governors and the president-elect share information about the virus in advance of the inauguration on January 20th.
And that is important from my standpoint so that they're aware of what we're doing as a state and what other states are doing to fight this pandemic.
The governor's full briefing can be viewed at his YouTube page. The Northwest Arkansas Council is now offering a $10,000 cash incentive to attract new talent to the region. The initiative is called Life Works Here, and recipients will also get to choose between a street or mountain bike or an annual membership to cultural institutions like Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art or the Momentary. Nelson Peacock, the president and CEO of the Northwest Arkansas Council, tells us they're hoping to attract talent working in STEAM fields. That's science, technology, engineering, the arts, and mathematics.
Individuals, looking to reevaluate their work-life balance and where they want to live. So we want them to take a look at Northwest Arkansas as a potential location for them to relocate as they look to get off the coast or some of the large urban areas and kind of reevaluate their lifestyle. So it's intended to target those types of individuals to help us really build upon some a few small shortcomings in our economy, which is entrepreneurship and young or new knowledge-based companies. Those are the kind of the things that we need to focus on to move our economy forward for the next 5-10 years.
Peacock says they're focusing on STEAM talent in particular because there's a shortage of workers in those fields across the country.
Frankly, I think our workforce development and education programs, are just taking a while to catch up to the rapid growth of this, of the needs of these jobs. So every community is looking for this type of talent. Right now, we're relying primarily on our major Fortune 500s and the University of Arkansas. We need to stimulate more startup companies to help them scale up and build more companies to continue our economic growth. And this program, we hope, will help that along.
To be eligible for the incentive, applicants must be at least 24 years old, have at least 2 years of work experience, and have full-time employment, which includes self-employment. They also have to currently live outside of Arkansas and be able to relocate to either Benton or Washington County within 6 months of accepting the incentive. Peacock says the Northwest Arkansas Council has a panel that will review each applicant.
We're already seeing a lot of applications come in, so it'll be a competitive process. And we're looking for candidates not only with those talents, but also that we believe are going to come in and contribute to our community, be mentors to startups, to work, mentoring, younger tech talent, work with some of our workforce development programs, things like that. We want candidates and individuals that will not just come here to work with it, but will also get involved in the community.
Peacock says they don't have a specific number of applicants they're planning to accept, but they anticipate it will be multiple dozens of individuals. The pilot phase of the initiative is getting $1 million in support from the Walton Family Foundation at the recommendation of Stuart and Tom Walton.
The incentive is getting the attention, and it was designed to do that. But there's also a concierge service for individuals that are looking to come fill, about roughly the 9,000 jobs that we have available right now. So they could apply for those jobs. We can help them with concierge services to put them in touch with those employers. So we have that as well. So that's part of it.
But since it was announced last week, the Life Works Here initiative is also facing criticism from Northwest Arkansas community members and activists who would like to see that $1 million directed to STEAM professionals already living in the region or those who are struggling to make ends meet during the COVID-19 pandemic. A petition on change.org is calling on the Northwest Arkansas Council to also consider giving away $10,000 grants to struggling families. Peacock says he understands many small businesses are having a hard time this year, but the overall goal of the incentive is to create a more robust and resilient economy in the future.
Nothing is guaranteed. We're not guaranteed to have a strong economy in the future as we have in the past. I realize that doesn't solve some of the disparities that are out there right now. The Northwest Arkansas Council is a business development organization at our core. There are other organizations that can handle poverty or things like that. And so, I understand where people are coming from. There are a lot of needs, in Northwest Arkansas. There are a lot of needs across the country. Hopefully we can do both. We just feel, the council's role is how do we help build our economy, because we believe that's going to uplift everyone.
The application and information about the Life Works Here initiative can be found at findingnwa.com. Peacock says the website also contains information about other Northwest Arkansas Council programs aimed at growing and developing local STEAM talent and entrepreneurship.
KUAF is supported by Butterfield Trail Village, a premier Northwest Arkansas retirement community catering to active lifestyles and resident well-being, offering a variety of amenities, including apartments, cottages, and village home living options. Information at ButterfieldTrailVillage.org. It's time for the annual KUAF and Friends Holiday Giveaway. It's your chance to win a gift from KUAF and one of many generous KUAF underwriters. Participants include Fayetteville Roots Festival, Downtown Springdale Alliance, Dog Party USA, and more. Winners announced Friday, December 11th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Details and registration available at KUAF.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. Construction, trash, sewage, chemical runoff, and farm waste are all sources of water pollution. But what about those pretty autumn leaves? Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich tells us more.
The fall colors are exceptional this autumn on the Arkansas Ozarks due to perfect conditions, cool nights, warm days, no hard freezes. But now, lots of fallen leaves are being raked or even blown into local streets. Trish Way, Benton County Cooperative Extension Agent, warns property owners against this practice. She directs the Urban Stormwater Education Program in Washington and Benton Counties.
Kind of like leaves, soil, all those things in the water seems very natural, and it does, but it doesn't mean that that's where they're supposed to be.
In nature, trees shed leaves, which eventually decompose, but in urban streets where thousands of property owners prefer their landscapes clean of leaf debris, massive amounts of dead leaves can accumulate in gutters and drainage systems, Way says. This morning, she peers into a pretty hand-built rock-walled storm drain in Fayetteville's historic district.
When they rake their leaves into the gutters or even just straight into the storm drain, we've seen that happen, those leaves end up in our local creeks and streams. When they do break down, they release the nutrients that are inside the leaves.
By nutrients, Way is referring to phosphorus, which feeds plant growth.
Some people put phosphorus on their yard or nitrogen on their yard to help the grass be greener, the plants to grow better, think about your tomatoes, the Miracle-Gro, that sort of thing. But when those are released in the water, they also help the things in the water grow. So that's when we get like algae blooms and that slimy stuff that we don't really want growing in our creeks and streams, or you'll see around the edge of ponds. So when those nutrients break down in our creeks and streams, they're going to end up in a larger water body, and basically we're feeding the things that we really don't want to be growing in those environments.
Timely removal of leaf litter from streets and gutters can reduce phosphorus in Ozark's watersheds by 80%, she says. Way collaborates with the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning District to educate urban property owners about preventing effluent runoff. This rock-walled drainage where we stand is an unnamed tributary to Skull Creek. Skull Creek watershed is 2 square miles in size. Skull Creek is a subwatershed of Mud Creek, which drains 17 square miles of Fayetteville and is a tributary of Clear Creek. Clear Creek is a 76 square mile subwatershed of the Illinois River watershed, which encompasses 1,700 square miles in size, straddling the states of Arkansas and Oklahoma. It's all connected, you see. And Trish Way suggests several ways to manage leaf debris to protect watersheds.
Well, obviously, we'd rather you turn it into something that's very much more useful to you. So we ask that you compost it, or, everybody really has probably a city cleanup or pickup, and maybe your city will turn it into compost. But be aware of what those options are for where you live, how to dispose of those leaves properly, or if you just want to let them lie around the edges because they will protect some salamanders and things like that. That's fine. There's some people that can do that. But some of us have so many leaves, we've got to do something with them.
Urban property owners can mow leaves into tiny crumbs, which quickly break down in yards, feeding nutrients to lawns and protecting waterways. Trish Way says stormwater markers are also in place on certain streets, as well as signage along watershed trails, to remind the public about keeping stormwater drains clean.
That runs down the side of your street, whether it be through a grass line ditch or into a curb and gutter system. It goes to our local creeks and streams. It does not see a wastewater treatment plant. It's not cleaned. So anything that goes into it, whether it be leaves, truly trash, chemicals, or pet waste, it's going to end up where we all want to be, out enjoying and playing the beautiful resources of Northwest Arkansas.
Search hashtag KnowTheFlowNWA to learn how to better manage fall leaves to protect waterways. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Cherokee Health Services is being awarded a $4.1 million grant through the Native American Research Centers for Health and the National Institutes of Health to assist with COVID-19 testing and contact tracing. The project is known as Cherokee Protect and unites tribal, academic, and community partners under leadership of the Cherokee Nation. The effort will also place emphasis on education about the virus in underserved rural populations. It will allow for expansion of existing infrastructure to increase viral and antibody testing and contact tracing. Arkansas's senior senator, John Bozeman, is part of a bipartisan effort to congratulate the United Nations World Food Program for receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. Senator Bozeman, a Republican, is joined by fellow GOP Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas and Democrat Senators Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, and Dick Durbin of Illinois. All of the senators are co-chairs of the Senate Hunger Caucus. They sponsored a resolution celebrating the awarding of the 2020 Peace Prize and affirming the United Nations World Food Program mission. This is Ozarks at Large. 2020 is not short on fodder for political writers. John Brummett, a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, is often writing about the unprecedented transition of power following this month's presidential election, about the continued effects of the pandemic on the economy and the federal and state approaches to slowing the spread of the virus, and about all of those other laws, resolutions, and bills proposed or opposed by legislators. This week, Brummett again sits down with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics, to cover as much political ground as possible in just a few minutes. Roby asked John Brummett about a plan proposed by Governor Asa Hutchinson regarding taxes and policies.
The governor now comes back to Arkansas to think about his, not that he's left Arkansas, but I'm just saying his agenda for the next legislative session. He's starting to hang some things out there about some things he wants to do with the budget, particularly in tax reform. Mm-hmm. I think this will be the big area right there. What do you think is realistic this next legislative session for him to get through? We've already seen some legislative resistance to quite a few of his proposals, particularly the enticement to lower the top income tax rate for people to move to Arkansas.
Right. I think a middle-class working man tax cut by giving some relief from a used car tax within a price range is a targeted kind of tax increase for a purpose to assist people who need the help and probably can succeed. I think the general drawdown of the top tax rate, which is the only thing he's got left in terms of what all he wanted to accomplish, trying to get it to 5.9 eventually. It's going to 6.6 from 6.9 this year. I think that continues. I think the ability to continue drawing down income taxes at a time when our economy has been under the strain of the virus is a fairly remarkable matter of balancing, possibly getting out of balance by the fact that we have we're entering a winter of perhaps crisis in the virus. But two, vaccines are coming, you know. Asa's big thing, he wants Arkansas to be an Atlanta suburb. He wants us to grow. He wants us to explode in high tech and computer coding and all that. It's his big deal. And he thinks if we'll take our top tax rate, which is now 6.6 for this year, and if newcomers to the state will pay 4.9 for 5 years, then all these people are going to come, and they're going to create these businesses, and they're going to make Arkansas a smarter, wonderful, more commercially vibrant place. It happens that my Wednesday column makes unmerciful fun of that proposal. It's rough. It's nonsense to think if a tax rate, income tax rate at the top level is the reason you will place a business somewhere, then why go to 4.9% Arkansas where you can go to zero Texas or zero Tennessee, if that's the sole purpose? The other is the very concept that we have to bribe people to come here. I find that offensive. We've got lovely dogwood trees, we've got mountains and springs, and we've got some things we're proud of. The price is 6.6% at top income, going to 5.9 for everybody. That's the third. You're basically asking legislators, vote to give somebody who just moved in a lower tax rate than you pay on your top level of income. Go home and tell your top taxpayers that. I think that one, as I think you put it in one of our virtuals last week, looks dead on arrival. I don't know if it is or not, but I hope so, and it ought to be.
I think it's a hard sell for legislators to go back to their constituents and say, I'm giving a tax break to some people that don't live here, but you guys keep paying taxes.
I'm going to give away my whole column. My other point is, if a guy comes here only for 4.9% rate for 5 years, then can we assume the sixth year he's just going to leave? I mean, I don't get it. It's one of the silliest things I've seen this administration come up with.
But there's been sillier in the past. Remember $50 tax refunds you were going to get in the Huckabee administration?
Right, and also he had the tax.
Right before Election Day.
And he created that whimsical Tax Me More Fund. For those of us who like income taxes, we could just pay more.
How much did you pay into
that? I paid quite a bit. I kept it quiet at the time. Not true.
All right. You touched on it earlier. The virus, coronavirus is raging out of control.
Right.
We've got this balance of the damage it's doing to the economy by the fact that people are sick and aren't going to be participating, but we also have the strain on the healthcare system. And this has been what we've been struggling with all year. Do you think that the governor is inevitably going to have to ratchet some things down further?
I think the governor is, and I think, lo and behold, Joe Biden is going to have to enter the presidency and do that. I don't think recommend whatever the federal government can. In that direction. He hadn't wanted to do it because he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't. Who wants to start their presidency by saying, let's all now join our new president in constricting our economy? You don't want to do that. But Trump's not going to give him, obviously, any transition cushion on that. Trump's not going to do anything. It's always been a balance. Keep our economy functioning because there is a moral and economic reason to do that. But let's not kill people needlessly because that we have no vaccine for this raging, very contagious virus. And 1% doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a whole lot of our fellow Americans who die. And
let's, quarter of a million people.
And let's not run our hospitals, overrun our hospitals and have to set up temporary quarters in War Memorial Stadium, which is one thing they planned for back in the spring. So it's all a balancing, and the balance is moving because the cases have doubled, and we're entering indoor flu season, which might well be indoor coronavirus season, a hard, hard winter. But what we've got to do, and what everybody is saying, nobody's saying, well, some people are saying lock down for 4 weeks and that will do it. But most others are saying let's surgically reduce our economy. Let's figure there are things you just got to stop doing. We need that. We need it to be smart surgery. And then we need a little teeth in these in the mask thing. We really do. I mean, the mask, if we possibly can. I mean, we have a mask mandate. But if you're in a store and you're not doing it, the store is not going to at risk the trouble that could ensue, the political rage of enforcing it. Enforcing it at the door firmly by strict state regulation and police oversight. I know that sounds scary, like a police state. I'm just saying we got these things work and they're not onerous, and we've got to do more than we're doing in order to get through this winter.
Yep, but we've politicized masks now. So
of course. We politicized the virus.
Yep.
The presidential race was the virus scoffers voted election day. We counted their votes early. And then the virus respecters overtook them by about 5 million votes through the mail vote. That's what we just observed in this country.
Yep.
That's the divide.
All right. He's John Brummett with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always good to get your take.
And to be asked for it.
Thank you.
All right.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and he talked with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. There is still more from their conversation, including speculation about what's next in the White House denial of the election of Joe Biden. That can be found at talkbusiness.net. And you can find John Brummett's columns at arkansasonline.com. Just ahead on this Wednesday Ozarks, our militant grammarian, Catherine Sherrills, delivers a new list of words with definitions you might not know. Oh, and before that, this quick reminder, you can always catch up with our show, even if you can't be by the radio at noon or 7 p.m. All of the major podcast distributors provide free access and free subscriptions to the Ozarks at Large podcast. And you can also find the podcast, along with the entire menu of other KUAF podcasts, at KUAF.com. Just look at the tab at the top of the page with the heading on-air/web, then scroll down to podcasts.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. It's time for the annual KUAF and Friends Holiday Giveaway. It's your chance to win a gift from KUAF and one of many generous KUAF underwriters. Participants include Mockingbird Kitchen, Center Street Mercantile, the Museum of Native American History, and more. Winners announced Friday, December 11th during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Details and registration available at KUAF.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. We continue to record our sessions on my front porch on a beautiful autumn day. Though by the time this airs, I don't know, there could be a foot of snow on the ground, knowing it's 2020. Catherine, how are you?
I'm fine.
What are we talking about?
Well, the other day I was forced to use Google Docs. Mm-hmm. I hate Google Docs. When I got there, the page was in Spanish.
Right.
I Googled some instructions in English on how to change the language, but I had to know enough Spanish to recognize, for instance, the Spanish word for language, so I could click it. Fortunately, I figured it out. Unfortunately, it didn't work. All this is to say that in English, there are words that you might not know upon seeing the first time, but you sometimes get an idea what they mean.
Okay.
Not these.
Okay. Good. I hope there's a quiz.
There is.
Okay.
These are words that don't look at all like their meaning.
Okay.
Now, you and I have talked about, in the past, we've talked about the first one, nonplussed.
Right. I grew up and well into my adulthood thought nonplussed meant you didn't care. Mm. But that's not the case.
It sounds like it ought to mean undeterred or confident or even stoic.
Yeah.
But it means to cause to be at a loss of what to say, think, or do.
Right. Which is not what I thought it was for mm-hmm. the longest time.
Mm-hmm. In other words, to be nonplussed is to be disconcerted, ill at ease, confused, or rattled.
Right.
Okay, let's try some others.
Okay.
Pulchritudinous.
Pulchritudinous. That means you're... I've heard that, but I don't... it means you're stuffy or full of yourself.
It sounds like an ugly word,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It actually means extremely physically beautiful.
Consider me nonplussed about that. I don't know what to say. All right. Huh.
Kyle, here's an old classic that I love to sing, but I always hesitated to sing it publicly because of a line that sounded weird to me. The sound goes, "They're writing songs of love, but not for me. A lucky star's above, but not for me." So the song is obviously called "But Not For Me."
Mm-hmm.
But later in the verse, there's this line. "I was a fool to fall and get that way. Hi-ho, alas, and also lack-a-day."
I don't know where that word started and where that word ended.
I know. Yeah. I used to think I didn't know any of those words.
Right.
They were just syllables. Well, lack-a-day The word looks like it means blithe or lazy or disinterested or something. It actually means to express regret or deprecation.
Huh.
It hasn't changed meaning since its first known use in 1695. It's thought to be an alteration or a shortening from alack the day. Okay. And I guess alack is like alas, because you've heard alack and alas.
Yeah.
Okay. How about puissant?
Okay, I don't know, but I'm going to say puissant sounds very particular.
Particular?
Yeah.
No.
No. Okay.
Some might say that it reminds you of a peacock. Puissant.
Oh, so you're
that's not what I mean.
Oh.
Some might say that.
Okay.
It actually means having great power or influence. So the people that you often report on are puissant.
I'll tell them that the next time.
Okay, Kyle. This one would be easy if you know how to pronounce it, but how would you pronounce it if it were new to you? G-A-O-L-E-R.
Gaoler.
It's jailer.
It's what?
Jailer.
Jailer? Like someone who puts you in
That's
jail?
That's exactly what it is.
And that's an English word?
Mm-hmm. The word comes from Shakespeare's Cymbeline, though it looks like it ought to mean singing, warbling bird, or perhaps band of tipsy carolers. It actually refers to a jailer or prison guard. It's just an archaic spelling.
Oh, okay, you know. Okay.
It could also be used more broadly to refer to prisons and parts of prisons.
Hmm.
Finally, Kyle, how about this funny-looking word? Swoopsteak. Not sweepsteak, okay. But swoopsteak.
Swoopsteak, that is a small animal like a squirrel in the eyes of a hawk.
That's what once the suggestion was, bird swooping down to kill, okay. But that's not it.
Okay.
The real meaning is in an indiscriminate manner.
So
he certainly was swoopsteak with that proposal.
I got to remember that one.
I know. It's from 1600, and it is an alteration of sweepstake.
Oh.
Middle English sweepstake, one who wins all the stakes in the game from sweeping to sweep and stake.
Okay, sure.
Kyle, all this weirdness has left me nonplussed.
Catherine Sherrills is our militant grammarian.
Hi. This is Timothy Dennis with Ozarks at Large and KUAF. Public radio holds a special place in my heart, and that's largely because of you. Thank you for listening, thank you for your trust, and thank you for choosing KUAF. Have a happy and safe holiday.
And I'll add my thanks to you as well. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Ozarks at Large and all of the programs you enjoy on KUAF 91.3. If you'd like to make a contribution in support of Ozarks at Large or any of the programs, local or national, that you hear on our radio program, a reminder, it's very easy to do, very safe to do. You can go to supportkuaf.com. I'll also tell you I am deeply grateful to the staff that works on Ozarks at Large every day. Regular contributors like Antoinette Grajeda and Daniel Carruth, adapting, pivoting, changing, contributing, making sure that as we move into a ninth month of the pandemic, we continue to be able to bring you the news, the culture, and the music of our area that's so important. Thanks again to them for making this far easier than it could be during a pandemic. Oh, and a thanks to the people who make the show better every week from outside of our staff, from our full-time staff, like the militant grammarian Catherine Sherrills and Raven Cook. Raven, the host and writer of Reflections in Black. Raven, by the way, back with us again this Wednesday.
This is Reflections in Black, and I'm your host, Raven Cook. Reflections in Black is a segment dedicated to exploring the legacy of Black Americans in the United States and around the globe. Reflections in Black also provides resources for understanding and hope for all people. All I ever wanted to do was sing. What happened was more. Born July 17, 1935, Diane Carroll captured audiences with her elegance and style.
The daughter of John and Mabel Falk Johnson, Carol Diane Johnson, was born in the Bronx and grew up in Harlem, New York. At the age of 10, a young Carol Johnson won a music scholarship through an organization connected to the Metropolitan Opera. Doors opened as Carol went on to receive her first modeling job with Ebony Magazine at the age of 14. And at 16, Carol Johnson decided to change her name to Diane Carol. While attending New York University, Carol's star would continue to rise as she won a talent show called Chance of a Lifetime. The win came with the prize of $3,000 and an opportunity for the young singer to perform for a week at the famed Latin Quarter nightclub in 1954. Carol would go on to accompany Hollywood icons Dorothy Dandridge and Pearl Bailey in Otto Preminger's Carmen Jones. The movie was a success and remains a classic in cinema history. Carmen Jones' film would lead to several Broadway productions and Hollywood films for a blossoming Carol. Some of her Broadway productions include House of Flowers, where she would receive a Tony nomination in 1954, and later Richard Rodgers' work, No Strings, a role specifically written for her as the lead. In No Strings, Carol was cast as a high fashion model in love with a white novelist. The role landed Carol a Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical. Her award-winning Broadway work did not stop Carol from working in Hollywood. She would appear in such films as Porgy and Bess in 1959, Paris Blues in 1961, and Goodbye Again. Carol would also become a regular on the Las Vegas circuit and frequently appear on Hollywood variety shows like The Tonight Show and The Carol Burnett Show before finally landing her breakout role in the show Julia. The first of its kind to introduce a Black professional female character on television, the show Julia gained critical success for Carol, who was nominated for an Emmy her first season and won a Golden Globe. She won a second Golden Globe after her second season. Despite the show's critical success, Carol found the experience of Julia difficult, as the show was situated in a revolutionary period for Black America, yet provided limited discussions on issues of the day. After the second season, Diane Carol was asked to be released from her contract on the show Julia. In 1974, Carol would go on to tackle a completely new role countering Julia in the film Claudine. The film Claudine introduced audiences to Carol as a single mother of six dealing with poverty in Harlem, New York. The 1974 role of Claudine garnered Carol an Academy Award nomination and an NAACP Image Award. Throughout the 1970s and 80s, Diane Carol would continue to soar, even starring in her own variety show, The Diane Carol Hour. In 1984, Diane Carol would be cast as Dominique Devereaux in Dynasty. As the elegant and ruthless Devereaux, Carol shined in the role and received critical acclaim for her sophisticated villainess. 2 years after leaving Dynasty in 1987, Carol was nominated for another Emmy Award for her performance in the show A Different World. She would continue to be in numerous Broadway plays, films, and TV shows through the 90s and early 2000s. Sadly, Diane Carol would pass away on October 7, 2019. Today, we remember the beauty, the elegance, the depth, and the pioneering spirit of Diane Carol.
Reflections in Black is a production of KUAF Public Radio, 91.3 FM in Fayetteville. You can hear weekly segments on Ozarks at Large, and you can hear past editions of the program at KUAF.com. Just search Reflections in Black.
This is Ozarks at Large. Before we go this morning, the Oklahoma State Department of Health announced an additional 26 deaths in that state from COVID-19. Oklahoma now reports 1,570 deaths from the virus. Of those 26 most recently recorded deaths, 19 were in the 65 and older age group. Oklahoma reports more than 1,400 current hospitalizations from the virus. Wear the mask. Stay at least 6 feet away from people and wash your hands, please. This weekend on the TED Radio Hour on KUAF, many schools are going remote again because of a surge of cases nationally. But that doesn't mean we can't keep learning. One day we might be able to talk to and communicate with animals like dolphins, like we're modern-day Dr. Doolittles. This Sunday, it's a special TED Radio Hour of big ideas with the entire family in mind. The TED Radio Hour, Sunday afternoon at 1 on 91.3 KUAF. And you can find the entire KUAF weekend schedule at KUAF.com. Speaking of weekends, hours of locally produced music programs every weekend on 91.3 and our partner stations KUAF2 and KUAF3. Friday nights, we have the Generic Blues Show with Paul Kelso, Shades of Jazz with Robert Ginsberg. Saturday night, the KUAF Vinyl Hour, Ozark Highlands Radio, Pick and Post with Mike Shirky, If This Ain't Country featuring Western Red, and the Jazz Scoop. Each of those has an encore broadcast over the weekend on KUAF3. Throughout the weekend, KUAF2 provides great classical music. KUAF2 and KUAF3 found on your HD radio in your car, in your home, at KUAF.com, and by asking your smart speaker to please play KUAF2 or KUAF3. Contributors to our show on this Wednesday included Jacqueline Froelich, Zuzanna Sitek, who gave us information about the Northwest Arkansas Council to lure out-of-state workers to the region, Catherine Sherlds, our militant grammarian, Raven Cook, and Roby Brock with Talk Business and Politics. Timothy Dennis produced our show and Reflections in Black, our show's theme written and performed by Daryl Sean. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Kingston. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. Please take care of yourself. We're back tomorrow at noon and 7.